第9項
For many years now, I've been meaning to honor and contemplate one of the most unsung and eccentric men who ever lived, Dr. Peter Marc Roget. His last name you know, he is the Roget of Roget's thesaurus. But the person himself, Dr. Roget, has somehow managed to escape celebration as the years pass by. And when you think about what this guy decided to do, well, I think about it every time I'm in the last stages of writing a book, as I am now. I'm quite certain that a lot of people who write books go through the same thing. The research is completed, the majority of the writing is finished, you're looking at about 400 pages of manuscript, and you begin to notice something. You've used precise on page 37, and precisely on page 53, and precise again on page 110, or you've used apparently on page 11, and apparent on page 21, and apparently on page 84. And it drives you crazy. So you give yourself another week, and you shut yourself off somewhere with the phone off the hook, with all those pages on a table in front of you, and with Roget's thesaurus by your side. Because in the age of whatever, in which we all find ourselves living, Dr. Roget's legacy is that he was the ultimate anti-whatever guy. Whatever means that the small things don't matter. To Dr. Roget, nothing mattered more. For years, as I've turned to him to find out that refuge can also mean sanctuary or haven, to learn that probity can also mean rectitude or uprightness or worthiness, I have fleetingly given thought to the man who came up with the idea to do this, to devote his life to the principle that the written word should not be repeated too often, if at all possible. But I never got around to finding out. This time I have. Peter Roget was born near London in 1779. His father died when he was young. His mother moved to Edinburgh, where he entered the university at the precocious age of 14. By 19, he had graduated from medical school and had embarked on research projects. In 1805, he became a physician at the Manchester Infirmary and went on to a distinguished career in medicine. But he was restless. He helped found the Society for the Diffusion of Knowledge and in his spare time invented a log-log slide rule for calculating the roots and powers of numbers. In his 61st year on Earth, after he had retired from the practice of medicine, he began to put together the first edition of his thesaurus. It took him 12 years to complete it. Why did he do it? By his own account, he first got the idea to classify words, to organize them meticulously, when he was 26 years old, conceiving that such a compilation might help to supply my own deficiencies. He said that he found that early attempt, scanty and imperfect as it was, of great use to him in literary composition. In retirement from medicine, he found he had more leisure and believed that a repertory of which he had himself experienced the advantage might, when amplified, prove useful to others. Of his thesaurus, Roget wrote, "I am fully aware of its numerous deficiencies and imperfections, and of its falling far short of the degree of excellence that might be attained. I trust to the indulgence of those for whose benefit it is intended, and to the candor of critics who, while they find it easy to detect faults, can at the same time duly appreciate difficulties." He died in 1869. He most likely had no idea that more than a century later, writers would still be leaning on him and on the men and women who have updated the work bearing his name over the years, in their efforts to make their own work as free of lexical repetitions as possible, and as exact in the meanings of words as they can get it. Every writer, as he or she goes back and forth between the thesaurus and the manuscript, at least occasionally wonders whether anyone will even notice, or whether, especially in the whatever era, this final polishing really matters. But someone must notice. Someone must think that following Roget's example means something. In J.M. Barrie's original Peter Pan, Barrie, describing the awful Captain Hook, says that Hook is not wholly without admirable qualities. He has a thesaurus in his cabin.